Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. The cities are fortified. The people are large, but God has given us this land as an inheritance. And God has said that we can go and take this land. But it was on that day that the people stirred the people up and they voted no, not to go. It was on that day that fear-mongering stopped a group of people from going forward. I thought, as I looked at this passage and thought about this passage, I thought, man, it's not new. Fear-mongering is not new. Fear-mongering has been going on for lots of years. And it continues today. There's something in us about human beings that we believe the fear-mongering or we participate in it. It's crazy, isn't it? I was having a conversation with my youngest son, Kobe, this over Thanksgiving, and I don't know, something maybe they studied at school, and I didn't realize that he was born a month before, but he was wanting to know, Dad, tell me what it was like when 9/11 happened. Tell me what it was like. He was just a month old, less than a month old. What was 9/11 like? And I took him back a little bit further, and I'll ask you all, do you remember Y2K? Do you remember the fear-mongering among all this? I mean, there was churches in Anderson County that were buying pallets of food and storing it up in their basements. I mean, we were going to go back to living like it was 1900, remember? The fear-mongering. It still continues. I'm always enamored by watching videos of these guys, and I've just decided I'm not ever going to do it. It's just not me, but I'm amazed by these guys and girls that hike the whole Appalachian Trail that start in Georgia and land in Maine. Just blows me away. So I like to listen to their stories, and I listened to one recently, and you know what she said? She did a video about three things on the Appalachian Trail she never expected. And on top of her list was this, fear-mongering. I thought, what's the fear-mongering on a hike? Well, I guess they network through social media, and those hikers that go on before talk about how bad the hike is and you're not going to make it and how terrible it is. And then those behind begin to join in. So some will even get off that part of the trail and skip that part and get on another side. And what she said is every time I went through, there was nothing to be concerned about. Why do we believe such fear-mongering? Why do we fall for it? Wow. Fear-mongering. But not Joshua and Caleb. They didn't. They were there. They were confident that God had promised that they could take the land, but the other 10 spies caused them not to go. So God said, you're going to wander in this wilderness for the next 40 years until all this generation has passed away. All of those that are fighting age and older, 20 years old and 20 years of age and older, and when this group passes away, wow, then you'll get to go in and take the land. At the end of Deuteronomy, Moses is the last one to die, and then in Joshua, Joshua's the new leader, and they begin to take the land. Now Joshua at this time is old, and God is distributing the land, setting the boundaries, giving it out to the tribes. And Caleb comes to the tribe of Judah, comes with the tribe of Judah, and reminds Joshua of what God said about him. And Joshua in Numbers 13 at a place called Kadesh Barnea. Never forget that name. Kadesh Barnea. It's where the people allowed their fear to stop them from having the blessing of God. Kadesh Barnea. Look with me in verse 7. I'll read verse 6 too. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, it's a nice name, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses the man of God in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me." Look at verse 7. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart." Would you? I want us to think for just a moment. Listen to what Caleb did not do. I thought about this. I thought about when you and I are trying to sell something or we're trying to avoid something, we do one of two things. If we're trying to sell something, we want you to know everything good about it and nothing bad about it. If we're trying to deter that, we want to talk about everything bad about it and nothing good about it. And when you and I are trying to get our way on something, we always do one or the other, right? But that wasn't what Caleb did. Caleb come with an honest report. Caleb come with a true report. Caleb come with a report that said, "Guys, the cities are fortified. It's just like Jericho, but we did Jericho. The people are big. They're giants. It's a big deal. I don't know whether we can take them." But you know what he said? He didn't say, "I don't know whether we can take them." He said, "God has given us this as an inheritance. God will provide the way. We must go. We must go. He will work this out when we don't understand how. He will do this." He gave an honest report. I would ask us this morning, are we giving honest reports to each other? Or do we tell what we want people to know? Are we giving honest reports? Are we being real? You see, just because you're honest about something that may have some negativity to it doesn't mean you don't want to still go forward. Caleb still wanted to go forward in spite of how big the people were, in spite of the cities being fortified. Matter of fact, I'm afraid that in the Western world, we've got to a point that if it's not easy, God's not in it. And the reality is I believe that sometimes, maybe all the time, that when it's too easy, that maybe God's not in it. That things ought to be in such a way that they're hard because God has to do. God has to work through that. Look further with me. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8, this is what the scripture says. "But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt." And we've already talked about that, how they fear-mongered among them. Yet, the last part of the verse is what I want to focus. "Yet I wholly follow the Lord my God." And this is what I learned when I studied this, is everywhere that Caleb is talked about, it always says this statement, that he wholly followed the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it? What does it mean that he wholly followed the Lord? And listen, what it meant is he didn't follow those other 10. That he didn't follow his brothers who were blood kin, who had a different report than them. He did not follow them. He continued to follow the Lord. Wholeheartedly he followed them. Think about the great command, right? That's a part of our mission statement. That I will love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? That I will love him the most. That I will wholly follow him with all of my being. And all the other commands are fulfilled in those two commands. We could just get that. This is what Caleb was doing. I will wholly follow him. He loved God the most. His attitude was faith and trust in God. His attitude was obedience. Look at verse 9. And it goes on. Remember, he's talking to Joshua. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Because he loved God the most. Because he trusted him the most. Because he had faith in him. God had told Moses, you're going to get this land. Now, I want to throw something ahead of this. I'm going to get ahead of myself just a little bit. It's been 45 years. We're not talking about the 25 years that Abraham waited on Isaac. It's been 45 years. I don't know about you, but if somebody says to me, I'm going to do something for you in 45 years, I'm just like, don't do it. Never mind. I don't think 45 years. I may not even be here in 45 years. 45 years. How do we respond to the promises and the goodness of God when things don't work out as we thought, when things don't happen as soon as we think, because we live in such a world that wants everything instantaneously, and we want it our way, and we want it now, and we want it how we want it. And he said, 45 years, and he's still what? He's still loving God the most. This is a, let's continue, because I don't want to get ahead of myself. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Just as he has said, these 45 years since that time, the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. Look, 45 years. Yet Caleb is acting as if and describing this conversation as if it happened yesterday. He's talking about this situation with Joshua. You remember these words? He told it to Moses. I was there and you were there. You remember? This was 45 years ago. What was Caleb's life like over these past 45 years? How did he react when he went to a funeral? Was he like mourning, or was he like, we're another death closer? I preached a message one time from this passage, and I entitled it, Don't Be the Person Other People Are Waiting On to Die. Don't be that guy. Can you imagine? He don't seem to have lost doubt. He don't seem to have given up. Was it every sunset? Was it every sunrise? What was it that he was saying? Is today the day? Is it going to work out today? Am I still stuck? I've been where the grapes had to be carried by two men, and the milk and the land flows with milk and honey, and I'm stuck with these people eating manna. And I'm sick of it. We could be enjoying the blessings of life, but we're in this misery. What are we thinking? But he waited. He waited, believing the words of God, believing the promise that he said to Moses on that day. He waited patiently. God always blesses those who wait. God always blesses those who wait. God always renews the strength on those who wait. Don't you know when we're waiting, we need our strength renewed? Don't you know when you're waiting, you get tired? That God renews the strength of those that are waiting. He waited patiently. But he didn't only wait patiently. Listen, he waited with anticipation. He was looking forward to it. He was confident that the day was coming. I don't think he celebrated when Moses didn't come back off the mountain. They spoke too highly of him. But I think Caleb probably rejoiced in his heart when Joshua took leadership. I think he probably rejoiced in his heart saying, "The time has come. May we go." Look at verse 11 and 12. At the end of verse 10, I want you to get this. He said, "And now behold, I am day 85 years old." Watch this. "I am still strong as I was in that day that Moses sent me. My strength now is my strength was then for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." Would you think about this for just a moment? Caleb is saying, "I've been waiting 45 years. I'm 85 years old, but I'm still as strong as I ever was. Listen, I don't want the easy getting. I don't want what's easy." He said, "I want what's hard. I want the hill country. I want the fortified city. I want the big guys. Bring them on, because I know that God is going to be with me. And when he's with me, we're going to win this battle." Did you get that? He's 85. Joshua's saying, "I'm old and acting like he ain't got much time and distributing out." And Caleb said, "I ain't done, man. I remember what it was." Some of us need to not be done so quick in life. It's a lot more for us to do. But it wasn't just Caleb's honest report, his good attitude, his wholehearted following, his trust and faith. It wasn't just those things that have impacted me about this passage. What really has impacted me the most is when he said these words. In verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive." God was faithful in his promise to me. And he said, "Joshua and Caleb, you will not die, but you'll see the promised land." He said, "Here I stand. I'm alive. God has kept me alive." But he didn't just keep him alive. He kept his strength. He kept his desire. He was kept by God for this very day and for this very purpose. He was kept. You see, it wasn't Caleb's wholeheartedness. It wasn't Caleb's honesty. It was God's faithfulness. It wasn't that Caleb remembered the story like it was yesterday. It was that God remembered it. It wasn't that Caleb remembered what God said. It was that God remembered Caleb. It said, "Caleb, today I've kept you alive. And I've kept your strength. And I'm giving you what you wanted 45 years ago." Look at these passages of Scripture with me in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He'll surely do it. Look at these. Look at this passage in 2 Peter 3:11-13. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Verse 12. Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to His promise, watch this, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I don't know that whether we forget sometimes that that's what we're waiting on. I think we keep trying to create that here. And we're not ever going to have that here, but we're waiting on that patiently and anticipating. And listen, just as God did not forget Caleb, He is not forgetting us. He will be there for us. He is keeping us. Worship team, you come. Father, thank You for this time. I just ask now, Father, that You stir in our hearts and our lives. Father, as we're in this Advent season, as we're lighting candles, as we're decorating trees, as we're doing all of this, God, may we above everything remember You, Jesus. May You be the prize of this season. May You be the light and the glory that we all desire and want. Father, this morning, may our hearts be stirred, Father, to remember that the fact is You have remembered us. Father, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to come and pray, you can come and pray in the altar. You need to come and speak with me. I would love to share with you in any way possible, but use this song time as a response time to how God's spoken to you this morning. Let's stand and let's sing together.
Great is Thy faithfulness. we stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Yeah. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
Amen. Listen, it is our honor today to get to baptize Gary. And Gary and Cam want to join the church today. They've been visiting with us for a while and been to the class. And Gary wants to come by baptism. So we're grateful for them. So I have a motion to accept them into our body of believers to serve and love them and for them to join us. Richard and Susan, first and second, all in favor say amen. Amen. All right, Gary, if you'll come right on. At the baptistry, guys, we didn't think about the Christmas tree. So if some of y'all are blinded by the tree, it's coming. He wants to just stay there a while. It must be nice. Oh, Father, we're so grateful for Gary and Cam. Man, their faithfulness and their love for You, their love for their family. Father, we're just grateful that they're a part of us. And Father, in its obedience to You, Father, that we baptize Gary in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't You know? Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Cam had asked me to hold him under a little longer, but I hit his head on the back, so maybe that's equal, okay? Love you, Gary. Love you. All right. Guys, you know, in our last song, what do we always do? We always do communion. Why? Because we believe the gospel is for us every week. We believe that we say, man, because his body was broken and because his blood was shed, you and I don't have to suffer the wrath of God because he did it for us. We don't have to drink that cup. We get to drink this juice. So, boys, we sing this last song. May we take communion remembering what Christ has done for us. Amen. Amen. Don't you know that Caleb had moments in those 45 years where he was wondering if God was working? Don't you know that he was just saying, God, is this going to happen? Can I trust you? Can we get through this? Boy, he's working even when we don't feel it. He's always working. Amen. Guys, I love you. Have a good day.